We're going to discuss the parable, one of the parables that we're on topic of today is called the parable of the wineskins. And it's from Luke chapter 5. And so if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to that scripture, we're going to start there in Luke chapter 5 and discuss this because Pastor Tom and I wanted to give you some understanding of the parables for a series of events and really, really minister the word of the Lord in the parables. Jesus loved teaching out of stories. He just loved telling stories. And, you know, I love a good story myself. I love reading, and I love a good story. And so Jesus always told, and he spoke through these kind of stories or parables. And so let's start in Luke chapter 5, verse 36, and I'll share with you something that really stumped me. I really had no idea about this parable. When I was growing up, I said, what does this mean? I don't really understand. So I took Luke 5 and picked it apart and studied it, and I found out. It says, He told them a proverb. It says, no one puts a patch from a new garment on an old garment. If he does, he will both tear the new and patch from the new one and will not match the old garment. No one pours new wine into old wineskins, because if he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be ruined or destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And so what I'm going to reiterate and just repeat is that scripture again. It says, when Jesus said, he said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled and the skins will be absolutely destroyed. Now, God is requiring change, change from us. That's one of the things I know about God, is that he's never interested in us staying the same. Because if we stay the same, eventually we'll grow very, very disintegrated. We'll actually decrease if we don't grow. So that's the reason why God wants us to grow. Because God is always moving. God is always changing. God's always revealing new things to the body of Christ and to the world. And so we've got to keep up to date. We must keep current with what God is doing. We have to keep current. This is a very important thing to do. And a lot of people don't understand this. Even in the body of Christ, some do not understand this. And so I'm trying to help you to understand that radical change, or this change, will affect everyone. God is always moving. Some like it, some don't. Some will rebel, some will hate it, actually. But God is asking us to prepare our hearts for the changes that is coming forth. It is coming forth in the body of Christ. It's coming forth in the world. And as we prepare our hearts, there will be a refining process that God wants and asks of us. There'll be a spiritual cleansing in our lives. Now, the reason why God's speaking this parable to us today is because if you study about wineskins and all this jazz, you know, we think, what is this? What's a wineskin? You know, I mean, we don't really understand this parable unless we put ourselves back in that time. But God says in the olden days, or in the time of Christ, there was something called skins. And those skins, they were used as containers for liquid. Over a period of time, these skins, which were maybe some kind of goat skin or any kind of animal skin, these skins dried out. They became very hard and very brittle. And so they were not able to contain whatever was held within them. And when that happened, when they got brittle and dry, what happened is that they were placed and dipped, literally soaked in water. Isn't that interesting? They were dipped and soaked in water, and then they were taken out of that, and then they were rubbed with oil. They were covered with oil. And that oil would soften them so they could be reused or used again. And if they were not processed in that way, they would become useless. Those skins would become useless. They would be hard and brittle. And if you would try to pour any new, you know, any kind of wine or anything in those skins, what happened was, they would burst. Now, in the same way, we in our lives sometimes become very dry, very unclean, our heart becomes hard, and we have got to know that the Holy Spirit is there to help change us, to help make us pliable, prepared for the new wine. And I'm telling you this because I really truly believe that God wants us to grow in the knowledge of His grace daily, to have this kind of fresh fellowship with the Lord. And the major problem that I see existing is that there's so many things to do out there. So many things to do. There's so many people to see. There's so many places to go. And there's so many things that we could do. But after we look back upon our day and we ask the question, well, what did I do? Well, it seemed to be important at the time, but the key question is this. How does what you do affect your relationship with Jesus Christ? How is what you're doing affecting your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because that's the most important thing that you ever preserve. How is what you're doing affecting your relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, God understands that you have schedules. God understands that you have needs. In fact, when I had a young child, when Laurel was very young, I mean, I was used to spending like 2 or 3 hours in the presence of the Lord, and I was used to spending that time with God, and I really loved it. But when I had a baby, all I could spend sometimes was like 15 minutes at a shot because of the busyness of my schedule. But you know what? God supplied what I needed during that 15 minutes because I purposed in my heart that I was going to do what God told me to do and put Him first. I was going to put my relationship with God first. More than anything else in my life, my relationship with God wasn't going to suffer. And so He would come to me in fantastic ways, quick ways. Like I'd sit down and read the Bible and things would pop out to me and I would go, wow, that was cool. I mean, that was fast too. Lord, You're really, really speaking to my heart. And I did it and it filled the need. But what I'm trying to allude to right now is the fact that whether you spend 5 minutes or whether you spend an hour or two, it really is important that you do it. That you make it a priority. You know what? When you do, you'll get an oil change. It's necessary to have that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Because when our lives and when our bodies literally get consumed with all kinds of busyness and all kinds of things that we think are priorities and they're not really priorities, we look back and we say, boy, I sure was impulsive at doing that. I didn't even need to do that. I wasted a lot of time. I wasted so much energy. When, you know, if I would have just spent 5, 10, 15, maybe half hour minutes with God, God could have corrected that. He could have shown me those things. He could have helped me to avoid some of the problems that I get into. And so what we need is an oil change. We need an oil change, literally. A fresh anointing from heaven will restore your joy. This blessing will work wonders in your home, in your job, in the church, okay? So, like I said, these skins, they were used for containers, but our body, the Bible says, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes our soul and our body can get dry and hardened and unclean and crusty and very unpliable. And our mind becomes focused on things that we need not be focused on. And so if we go through those seasons where we're dry, or when people don't want to be around us, and you know it, that's time for an oil change. That's time to get, first of all, dipped in the water. That's what they did. They took that unpliable, hardened, crusty skin, And it was usually shaped, you know, it's like a big old bottle with a bottleneck on it. And they'd take it and they'd dip it in the water. And they'd soak it there. My goodness, I'm telling you, there are so many times where if it wasn't for the fact that I had a good worship tape, that I would just sit in the presence of God and just bask and soak literally in the presence of God, I would not be here today. I wouldn't have an anointing at all. But it is in the presence of God when you literally soak yourself in the presence of God. And, you know, sometimes you just got to literally lay out on the ground and just prostrate yourself and put that music on or get the Bible out and seriously seek the presence of God daily for His will to be done in your life that day, that God will ordain you. He'll give you fresh oil from heaven and water to wash you clean. Man, that water, it's not only meant to wash our bodies. The water of God's Word, the water of God's Spirit washes your soul. It just washes your soul clean. And so His Word of grace, the Bible says, it's the Word of grace that saves your soul. So let the Word of grace save your soul. Even today, if you're not flexible, you will break. And so when you're talking about wine throughout Scripture, whenever they speak of the wine of God or the wine, it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, it always represents a new move of God's Spirit. A new move of God's Spirit. God is always changing. He's always moving. In other words, by change, I don't mean that God is changing His nature. He's not changing His nature. He's same forever. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change His nature, but He's always doing new things. He's always changing His emphasis. He may be saying one thing for you one day, and then He says, okay, now this is what you need to do the next day. And it's a move of God's Spirit that we need to be welcoming. It's a move of His Holy Spirit in our lives, or this fresh outpouring of an anointing. And it's for a specific purpose or a specific plan to get you on track or to move you in the place where you need to be. And if you have an old wineskin that's not been dipped in water to restore the moisture, and it has never been, you know, rubbed with oil, you cannot receive that flow of the Spirit's power in your life. And so these wineskins, they were rubbed with oil to help produce endurance in them and flexibility. Now, literally, the word anointing means to rub. I have a book that I really advise you all take a look at. If you can purchase it, it's on the book table. It's very, very good. It's called The Costly Anointing. And it was a book that I wrote probably about 24 years ago. But it is still relevant today, and it's still happening today, that the anointing of God has to be a progressive thing. You can't say, well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, 25 years ago. Bless God. Hallelujah. You know, and I'm never more again. It's kind of like, you know, that's the same thing you do with a person. You know, I heard someone say, well, I told my wife I loved her 10,000 years ago, 20 years ago when I got married to her. You know, if anything changes, I'll let her know. Huh? You know, it's kind of like that with God. You know, what? You know, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I get filled with the Holy Spirit every morning. You don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and that's it. That's the beginning, you see, because you need to be soaked in God's Spirit, His water, the water of His Word, and in the presence of the Lord, receive His Word, and then get rubbed with the oil of the Spirit so that you stay flexible. Because the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit. Now, David, I bring this out in the book that I wrote, King David had three major anointings that he had. Number one anointing was when Samuel took the oil and poured it on his head and said, you are potentially anointed here, and God is going to use you mightily. And he just was a young little lad at the time. Okay, he was just young, but that was his first anointing, and nothing much changed at that point. He was still taking care of the sheep, but he was anointed. He was anointed, and he was faithful to continue to do what he was called to do. I bet those sheep were better taken care of after that point. I would imagine his music got way more powerful than ever. And God did something upon his life, but he stayed there with the sheep at that season. The second anointing that he went through was when God brought him forth out of the sheepfold and say, now I'm going to anoint you as king over all of Judah. That was his second anointing. And then the third anointing was when he was anointed as king over all of Israel. So he had three major anointings that he walked through. And what I'm thinking to myself is, these were major anointings, but I know that the Holy Spirit quite frequently came upon him for various purposes. And that's what I'm speaking of today. I'm saying, let the Holy Spirit deliver us from the old whinies. Yeah. Let the Holy Spirit deliver us from the old whinies. Because when we start to begin to whine, you know, I need a fresh anointing. That's how we know we need a fresh anointing. And now, I don't want any old whinies in here, okay? I want some new wineskins. Not old whinies, we're going to be new wineskins. Because God says the ways the Holy Spirit or the anointing will literally come in our life are profoundly awesome. And I want to amplify those right now. In Psalm 92, these are the ways in which the anointing, these are literally the benefits of the anointing. What does the anointing do in your life? Okay? This is what the anointing does, and I'm going to read it. In Psalm 92, let's take a look at this, and I want you to experience this with me today, because we will have the altar open at the close of the service, and you will receive the anointing. But I want you to understand, these are the benefits of the anointing in Psalm 92. I love this. Ooh, yeah. Verse 10. It says, but my horn, or the emblem of excessive strength and stately grace, but my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now take a look at some of these benefits. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. In other words, your eyes are anointed and you have power over all those that are called enemies of your life. The devil and every demon in hell, or even nasty letters or words or thoughts that may come your way from the devil, you have authority over those. So your eye will be able to see your desire upon your enemies, and God will turn that around for you. I think to myself, how many times if we could ask the Lord to give us fresh vision, what would happen? I think we would see things totally different. If we would say, Lord, help me see things the way you see, we would see that God wants our lives to be supersized, not made littler. God doesn't take away from you. He wants to add to you. He wants to give you above and beyond what you could ask or think. That's the way the Holy Spirit works when you continue in his love. When you continue in his word, he will continually add things to you. And so let's look at what God does here. The Bible says, write the vision down, okay? And I want you to understand, when you have a vision from God, write it down, and then God says, wait for it. For it shall surely come to pass. And this is what I'm trying to get over to you, is that when you have the anointing in your life, it will cause you to have purpose, vision, goals, dreams. You're going to reach out for something that you've never, ever had before, and you're going to go for it. You're in it to win it. You're saying, I'm going to pursue that, and I'll see the glory of the Lord. All right, I'll see the glory of the Lord, no matter what the cost. I'm gonna take the time and an effort, and no price is too high to pay for God's dream in our lives. No price is too high to pay. Hallelujah. So number one, you'll see the desire upon your enemies. Number two, your ears will hear the desire on the wicked who rise up against you. Now, God speaks, get this, with a very still, small voice. A very still, small voice. Very still, small voice. Very still, small voice. You can't be too busy to hear it, or too loud to hear it, or too fast to hear it. You've got to slow down. You've got to not be so busy. Oh, but there's so many things to do. There's so many places to go. There's so many people to see. Oh, it's so important. It's so sensational. Then you're going to miss God. You're going to miss him because he speaks with a still, small voice. We can't be too busy to hear his voice. We can't be too loud to hear his voice either. We've got to wait before him. The Bible says, wait before me, and I will bring it. David said it like this, I waited before the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he delivered me from all my enemies. So wait before the Lord. Saturate yourself during that time of waiting in the presence of goodness, in the presence of God. And God will speak to you in his word. He will deliver you from your enemies. Now, my personal testimony is amazing. When I sit still, it's amazing how when I sit still, I hear God like that. But when I'm moving and doing stuff, I don't often hear him. I may sometimes, but not often. But when I sit very still and I just close my eyes and just really soak in his goodness, I'll hear his voice speaking to me. And he'll say, this is important. Do this or do that. And another very key thing to hear the voice of God, and I've experienced this myself, is that when you purpose in your heart to unconditionally obey the voice of God when you hear it, he will be faithful to direct you. I really want to emphasize that. When you purpose in your heart to unconditionally obey the voice of God, he will be faithful to direct you, because this is where God really speaks to his children. That's the key. Purpose in your heart. Say, God, whatever you ask me to do, I will do it. Whatever you say to me to do, I will obey. And then God will direct your steps. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because quite often it's that anointing that abides within you. The Bible says the anointing abides within you, and the anointing teaches you all things. And so in order for you to access that anointing that abides within you, if you're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, that anointing abides within you, you must be quiet and wait for God to speak. Because he doesn't do things on our timetable. I wish he would. It'd be really nice if he would just, you know, be like a waiter, you know, come and wait on us. Okay? But he's not. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to pursue him with all of our heart. He wants us to be very diligent to press in to where he is. And when we do that, he'll very, very, very quietly lead you. So be quiet enough. Get your flesh still enough so that you can hear from him. Another thing that's very important about the anointing of God is that when you have the anointing of God, the Bible says in this psalm that you will flourish like a palm tree. That's one of the benefits. Not only will you hear the voice of God, and that number one, you will have vision. Number two, you will hear the voice of God. But number three benefit is that you will flourish like a palm tree. Now, on this dress that I have right here, if you notice, there are palm trees on here. And I absolutely love palm trees. I think they're gorgeous. I think they're so beautiful. They're elegant. In fact, in the Old Testament, they were actually on the doors and on the engravings of the temple. They put palm trees, beautiful palm trees, engraved in the temple, in the decorations, and pomegranates too. Beautiful things that they put in there. But the reason why palm trees are so important to the Lord, and they're very symbolic, is that God says, you will be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. God says, you will bring forth fruit in your season. Now, palm trees are very special trees because they have very, very, very deep roots. And they can search out water in dry places. That's their purpose. They literally reach out to the deepest places. If they can't find it there, they'll just keep growing and growing and growing and growing and growing until they find a water spot. And they seek for that water. But they also have very deep roots, so they can grow deeply. Now, if we develop a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit, it will be, like the Bible says, a well of water springing up to everlasting life. So that anointing that abides within you, It will help you find water in desert or dry places. Hard times, in other words. Places where nobody would want to be. People will marvel at you and they'll say, how did you make it through that? And you'll go, I'm like a palm tree, I guess. I had some deep roots. I just didn't let that circumstance get to me. I just went deeper. Corrie ten Boom said it like this when she was in prison. She said, no pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. That's coming from a woman in prison in the time of the Holocaust. No pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And so our goal is to get those roots down deep. Let them grow. Let them search out that water. And the anointing will refresh you in hard times because it's freely given at all times, at all moments throughout the day. You have access to that anointing all the time. You say, well, I've made some sins. It doesn't matter. You ask God to forgive you, you just get right in there. You just go right in the presence of the Lord. You ask him to forgive you, and you forget about it, and you move, and you let those roots grow down deep into the soil of God's love, because God's love is good, not some of the time, but all the time. And he knows how to forgive his children. Why would he want his child to suffer from anxiety and fear and condemnation after making a mistake? All that's going to do for his child is going to get that child deeper and deeper into the pits of hell and into the arena of the devil, where that devil is going to bother that person to the point of maybe possibly even going into an area of either suicide or possibly in an area of sin where they could no longer be saved. I've seen people walk away from God. I've seen people just literally walk away from God. And it grieves my heart. I don't know. I'm just saying, don't go there, okay? Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore with joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. But this is not something somebody else can do for you. This is something you've got to do for yourself. You've got to do it for yourself. You've got to get your roots down deep and say, I am going to seek God. Nothing is going to get in my way of my relationship with God. Nothing. I will let nothing get in the way of my relationship with God. You got a purpose in your heart to do that. I will not let anything get in my way. The anointing will refresh you in hard times, but you've got to make a decision. What was I doing with my time there? That was stupid. Watching that dumb TV show when I could have been praising God and in his presence and worshiping God and reading the Bible and getting all kinds of power and authority and joy and love and, you know, all that. What in the world was I thinking? We got to search ourselves. We got to question our priorities and say, I think I need to just put that out. And when we make that decision in our heart to say, okay, I'm going to draw water out of the well of salvation. I'm going to draw water. Then it's like everything in hell is going to try to come against you. The phone's going to ring. The children are going to cry. The people are going to have a heart attack. You know, and you purposed in your heart to follow God, and the devil says, just watch me. Just watch me. I'll get her astray again. I'll get her off. Just watch. So you got to be focused. You got to stay focused. You know, the Bible says that the children of God are like, we should have dove's eyes. You know what a dove's eye is? It's single focused. It can only see straight ahead. It's single focused. The dove is, that's the kind of eye that we need to have. Straightforward, focused on one thing. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Jesus. Just Jesus. My relationship with Jesus is more important than my home. That's more important than my ministry. It's more important than my family. It's more important than even my own life. My relationship with Jesus is it. And nobody can take that from me. So therefore, nobody can take joy from me. That's amazing. When you have that kind of authority, you want that kind of authority, just make Jesus your best friend. If you don't know Jesus today, just make him your best friend. You've got joy unspeakable and full of glory, and nothing can take that from you. You know, another benefit of the anointing of God, it's that you will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Cedars have extremely long lives. Wow. Extremely long life. The Bible says, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. You know, when you have this kind of anointing upon your life, it will cause you to become strong. You'll see the goodness of God and experience that goodness of God, and you're going to have off-the-charts growth. The greatest accomplishment or the greatest compliment that I think I've ever received in my life was someone told me, my goodness, you just keep changing. You just keep growing. And I said, praise God, that's a compliment to God's Spirit, because we need to keep growing. We cannot stay stagnant. We've got to get stronger, bolder, more confident, and keep growing. And if we do, with old age, we're going to see all the fruit of our life. You know what? I love to look at you. And I, you know, my daughter's heart's cry, and I think it's a very noble one. She says, I want everyone to stay in the church because I want to see those children grow old, and I want to see them and get them married and watch them get married and watch them marry, you know, marry someone godly and then have them have children. And I want to see all that process come to pass. That's like a cedar in Lebanon, that you want to keep your roots down deep and just grow up high and tall and grow old. One of the greatest compliments you could ever pay your husband or your wife is, I want to grow old with you. I want to grow old with you. I'm committed. I want to grow old with you. Same with God. I want to grow old with God. I don't want to die prematurely. I'm believing for 120. How about you? I'm believing for that. I am. I'm believing for 120, so anyone, if anything happens, you raise me up from the dead, okay? Because I'm believing for 120. That's where my faith is, okay? Another benefit of the anointing is the Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Now, what are the courts of God? You're sitting right in them right now. You're in God's court right now. This is the house of the Lord. It was called the courts of the Lord. It is God's desire that we should bring forth much fruit and that our fruit should remain. But this requires dedication, patience, to commit to a task that we are given and a place to grow in, which is called the local church. Now, I want to show you this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Could we put that up, Tom? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And this is the New King James Version. It's very apparent that God wants us to make a covenant and a promise with the people that are around us, with our church people, with our family. Because I really believe this, with God, that God has called us to work together. And look at this. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him they're amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Wow. God's given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. What is a guarantee? A guarantee means that he's always going to be with us, that we can trust him. I believe that we can trust in our Lord. How about you? I believe that God is trustworthy, that what he has started, he will finish. What he has begun, he will finish. So I'm going to read to you a little bit more out of the 2 Corinthians chapter, because this is very good. In 2 Corinthians, the Lord says that our God is able, it says, thanks be unto God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumph. We are a trophy of Christ's victory. Remember I told you this morning you're a firework? You're a firework of God. In other words, every time you see fireworks, I want you to think of yourself as being one of those fireworks, because you're explosive in the dark skies. In the dark skies, That's where you explode. Where there's darkness, you explode there. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works or your explosions of his grace and glorify the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So let me tell you this. Honey, you're a firework. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Explode. All right? Just explode. Okay? Because it's God's desire that you should explode where? In the house of the Lord. The reason why many of us never bear fruit is simply because we run either from commitment or from the fear of rejection and failure. Hallelujah. I always do things. My spirit, this is how my spirit works. I always do unto others as I would have them do unto me. I live that way. I do unto others the way I would want somebody to do to me. That's the way I live. And if you live by that, how many of you would like to get to know someone, say in the church, and you're getting to know them real well, and all of a sudden they're gone? Like, where are they? You know, I've heard so many pastors suffer from this. People say, oh my goodness, you know, we have someone that came into the church, then God told me I'm supposed to be here. And a few months later, they're gone. Or God told me I was supposed to be here. Or even a few years later, they're gone. Well, what does the anointing do? The anointing causes you to be planted in the place where you are commissioned by God to be. So you must find out where God's commissioned you to be and plant yourself there. And the anointing will cause those blessings to flow in your life. And what I say is this, if you run across a hard time wherever you're committed to, then seed for your need. Seed for your need. Instead of running away, seed for your need. Okay? So if you would like to see commitment from others, then be committed to them. Okay? Be committed to them. Be committed. Everybody is going to make mistakes, and everybody is going to have failures. You know, but what I've learned is that the only way that you grow is to seed for your need. In other words, if you've got some problems, work it out. Talk about it. Deal with it. Okay? In 1 John 2, verse 19, I love this. It says, when the people of God came together, the apostle wrote this, and he said, they went out from us because they did not really belong to us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they withdrew that it might be plain that they were not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you know all truth. Wow, what a scripture. So in other words, whenever people are not able to be planted in something and they kind of wander from ministry to ministry or from church to church, do you know what the reason for that is? They've never tasted of the anointing. And they don't know how to grow where they're planted. Because if you grow where you're planted, you'll be able to seed for your need. And you'll say, I'm going to work this through. I may not agree with this. I may not understand what happened. But you know what? I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to work this through. I'm not going to run from it. And I'm telling you, that's the reason why most of the body of Christ is paralyzed today, because they don't seed for their need. They run. They run from place to place, trying to find something that will satisfy them. And only Jesus can satisfy us. Only Jesus can satisfy us. And so what I'm trying to help you with understanding right now is that I would like to see a lot of commitment from the people of God. It's one of the greatest things that I think God brings is having us grow old together. But the only way in which we can grow old together is if we've been anointed by the Holy One, it says, and we can know all truth. And so we need to pray for the truth to be made manifest, for the truth to come. Pray for the truth of God to be manifest in our lives. And when he reveals truth to us, then we can move forward in what God's asked us to do. So I really believe that commitment is the hardest thing for the body of Christ to handle, because we just aren't, I really believe this. I believe that we're moved by our flesh too often and not by the Spirit. And so let's get grounded. Let's get planted in the house of the Lord. Let's get to it. Let's get planted in the house of the Lord so we can flourish and grow. Because when we're planted, we're going to grow. How many of you have ever tried to transplant a tree? That's tough. It may not always come back. And some people in the body of Christ, they never come back because they never deal with their problems. They never deal with their issues. They never confront it with the person that has wronged them, or they don't understand something about. Please, by all means, go to the people that you don't understand. Talk to them. Say, I don't understand why you said that. Can you explain why? Chances are they're probably doing what they felt was the best thing. And they just didn't know how it may have hurt you. Or they, you know, many people do unto others the way they would have things done unto them. And maybe you don't do things the same way as other people. You just may not do things the same as other people. But plant yourself in the house of the Lord and flourish, grow. And try to be understanding of people's mistakes. Everybody is going to sin. Sinning is part of our problem. But Jesus Christ has been our answer. Jesus Christ has been our answer. He is our answer. Don't fall off the throne when someone sins. Don't fall off the throne when you sin. Just get back up and move forward, because that spirit of condemnation is what's going to paralyze you. More than anything else, it'll paralyze you. Don't let it paralyze you. Get up. Get up. Get back on the right track and move forward. Hallelujah. And I believe this. I believe with all my heart that this next part of the anointing, you will still bring forth fruit in old age if you stay and remain in the anointing of God. The Bible says Abraham was born, had Isaac born to him at an old age. Abraham and Sarah had that fruit at an old age. Look at Elizabeth. She had John at an old age also. And you look at Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old when he received his inheritance. He had to wander around 45 years in the wilderness until he received his inheritance. But he did receive fruit in his old age. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just believe that what God has promised you will come to pass, and God will bring it quicker than you think if you continue to trust him. Bless you, honey. As God has prospered you in the anointing of God, you will live longer and be more fruitful. Hallelujah. And then number 7, a benefit of the anointing of God is that God will be revealed through you as being upright. In other words, God will show himself to be upright. Or he will give you purity. Now, what I want to help you with in these final few last minutes that I have is how that you can access and have faith for the anointing of God. How do you do that? How do you access the anointing of God? This is very important. In order to develop the anointing of God, you must develop faith in it and confidence in it, and allow God to deal with those areas that would hinder your flow, because we all have them. Okay? And I'm going to call this part of the sermon Avoiding Becoming a Leaky Christian. How to avoid being a leaky Christian. Because we do leak. Okay? In other words, God wants to fill us with that anointing of that new wine. Remember I talked about that? That new wine. And it wants to come in us. But there may be a little area of your wineskin that's a little bit faulty. Okay? And it may be leaking. And so God wants to heal that. So what are these hindrances? Number one, the hindrance is unbelief. Unbelief is a hindrance. And what is unbelief? Unbelief just causes us to leak, because unbelief, it's not the same as doubt. And I'm going to share this because you can understand. Doubt doesn't believe what God has said because it has never heard what God has said accurately. That's doubt. Doubt is when you've never heard what God has said accurately. Unbelief knows full on what God has said. It knows full on. God says, do not commit adultery, but you go ahead and do it. Okay? It knows full on that the Bible says, don't cheat, don't steal, but it goes ahead and does it. Okay? Now, unbelief knows what God has said, but refuses to do it. So, in other words, if you start feeling cranky around people, you need some fresh oil. Do people really enjoy being around you? You got to ask that question. Are people liking being around me? Or are they kind of shying away from me? Uh-oh, if they're shying away from me, or if you're shying away from being with people, you need a fresh anointing. You need a fresh anointing. The Holy Spirit can do that. He can give you a fresh anointing from God. Now, believe me, most of the problems in life always occur because we don't totally understand or communicate properly. And we assume things about ourselves or about people that are inaccurate. Believe me, I have seen so many people fall away from God, fall away from the church, because they're assuming something about someone that's not accurate. Really, it is. Or they're looking at themselves and thinking things about themselves that are not accurate. And so I really love to go back to Mark chapter 4, because in Mark chapter 4, it talks about a very important scripture about the sower sowing the word, and how it says that some seed is sown on not very good soil, and some is sown on different kinds of soil, but everybody produces a harvest. And let me share with you, one of the things that the Lord has told me is in Mark, it says, if you understand what God has said, you will bring forth much fruit, but some don't. Why do some bring forth a lot of fruit, and why don't others bring forth a lot of fruit? This is the key right here. Okay, it says, some have seed that's sown on the path where their hearts are just kind of hard. They're hard. Remember I talked about the hard wineskin? And they've never ever said, I need to change. Okay? And so if we don't want to change, then when the word of God comes, we're not going to even be able to receive it. And I don't want that. Okay? In the same way, it says the ones that are sown upon stony ground, when they hear the word of God, it says they accept and receive it with joy, but they have no real root in themselves. In other words, remember the roots have to grow down deep? In other words, they don't have any roots. The anointing will help you to be patient, because when trouble or persecution will arise, the anointing actually will help you not to stumble or fall away. And then another thing, I've seen this, that's why we got to beware when we get impatient, because God may move a little bit later than we thought and we miss it. So don't be impatient, okay? Another thing is that when ones that are sown among the thorns, those are like those that hear the word of God, but what happens is the cares and the anxieties of this world and the distractions of this age, okay, will actually creep in and suffocate the anointing of God. So don't let these cares have any way. You know what? Quite often you've got to say throughout the day, I cast that care on God. I cast that care on God because he takes care of me. I cast it on God. All right? Because there's things that we're not strong enough to do. There's things that we can't figure out. We're not smart enough to figure out. But we got to cast it on God. Say, God, you take care of this. Because you know that I want the best, but I can't do it. There's certain things that I can do and certain things that I can't. But you got to do some of these things that I can't do. And you put the pressure on God. Because he doesn't mind that. You go, really? You're right. He doesn't mind that. Say, God, you take care of this. I can't take care of this. I don't know what to do. I don't have the wisdom. I'm trusting you. I'm putting the care upon you. It's your care. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's really important to do is to get rid of this deceitfulness of riches thing. Never, ever, ever do anything for the sake of money. Ever. When I accept a job, I never accept a job because of a paycheck or because of hourly wage. Never. Never. I would never do that. You're going to, you know what? You know what you're opening up for yourselves? You're opening a can of worms for you. You know why? Because you might get that job that's $15, $20 an hour and be the most miserable person in the world. Or you may accept a job that only pays you $8 or $9 an hour and be the happiest person in the world because you had more time for the kingdom of God, you had more time for your family, you had more time for church, and because you had more time for your family and more time for your church, you prayed more and God anointed you and blessed you and gave you a supernatural blessing. Seriously, I've seen that happen. Never do anything because of the deceitfulness of riches. Ever. It's so unwise. Because you've got to pray. You've got to ask God if this is right. You pray and you wait upon Him. You discern what is the will of the Lord. And you wait until you hear it. And you don't get out of God's presence until you know. But don't do anything just because of money or the lack of it. Ever. You must know that what God has called you to do, you're doing it because He's called you to do it. And you just stick in with it, roll up your sleeves, and do it. Because it's right. Because it's right. Because the lust of other things will always creep into our life. It's like more disease. We've got to realize that's a hindrance to the anointing of God. And another thing that's a hindrance to the anointing of God is disobedience. Saul's anointing was removed because he assumed to know the word of God rather than diligently inquiring of the Lord. He did what seemed best, and he literally feared being rejected by people. God rewards those that diligently seek Him, okay? Now, these are the things that I want you to do. Avoid those other things. Avoid disobedience, impatience, the lust of other things, deceitfulness of riches, and especially cares. You've got to take those cares. Oh, we tend as Christians to just kind of feel like it's normal to worry. It's not normal to worry. We say it like, well, I'm so concerned about this. I'm so worried about this. I'm so concerned. What we're saying is, I'm sinning. But try to understand me. No, you're sinning. Don't be worried. You know what? God wants you to be free from cares. Pull out those weeds in your heart right now today. Say, God, I cast those cares upon you because you take care of me. You know the reason why we do it is because we don't think that God's either big enough to do it or that He wouldn't want to do it, take care of you. Of course He wants to take care of you. Shove those over on God. Oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, I couldn't do that. Yes, you better. Why do you think you're such a hot shot that you can figure it out on your own? Are you that big? Are you that important? Are you that smart? I know I'm not. I'm not that smart, and I'm not that important, and I'm not that talented. I can't do certain things, but I know God's well able to do it, and I know God can do it. And so I give it to God, and I say, God, take care of it. I cast all my cares upon the Lord. I like what my mom, Wilkie, used to always say. I love it. She always says, you know what? If Satan comes and bothers me, I say, you talk to God about that. He's handling all my affairs. That's worth an applause. You talk to God about that. He's handling all my affairs. He's working for me. He's leading me in the right places. Hallelujah. Believe God and trust Him. And start this. This is what we've got to start today more than anything else. If we want to walk in the anointing of God, is speak faith filled words. So much of the body of Christ is so negative. Have you heard about so and so? Did you hear the latest gossip about that person? Did you hear that? Oh, they did that? Why do you want to get involved in that kind of stuff? I don't want to get involved in that kind of stuff. I stay the farthest away from that stuff as I can. I say, I don't know about that. I don't even want to know about that. I don't even want to know those things. Those are from the pit of hell. Those are things that are ungodly, and they're the result of the demons or the devils. I don't even want to know about it. I avoid those things. Do you know, one of the best things that you can do is say this, say, God, you preserve my life. Keep me in the center of your will. I don't want to know about the latest gossip and who did this and who went there and this and that person and da-da-da-da-da. I just want to know about the good things that God is doing. I want to know about what the Lord has done. Please talk to me about those things. And the rest of it, don't get on Facebook and post all kinds of things about all kinds of bad events. That is so out of order. That is so out of order. It is so out of what God's will is. God is a God of good reports. He wants us to believe and to hope for things. The Bible says, whatever is good and pure and lovely and of good report, think about those things. Whatever is good and holy and lovely, think about those things. Don't think about the other things. So what do we need to do? We need to believe that God is with us. Start speaking faith-filled words. When you mix your words with God's words, it's powerful. Jesus was tempted by the devil, and what did he do when he was tempted? He spoke the word of God. God will watch over his word to perform it. So boldly confess the word of God. Get up every morning and say, Psalm 91, no evil shall come near my dwelling, nor any plague shall come near me, because God, you give your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. You said, God, that I'm the head and not the tail. You said I'm above only and not beneath. God, I thank you that your anointing is upon my life, that I am blessed, that I excel at everything that I put my hand to do, that I'm a firework in you. Hallelujah. You know, that pleases the Lord. That pleases the Lord. Can you imagine your little child coming to you and saying, you know, because of you, Dad, I am who I am. I'm happy because of you. I'm strong because of you. You've given me success because of you. Wow, would your daddy love that or not? Yes, your daddy would. Your mama would love that. So does God. When you acknowledge those good things that are in you in Christ Jesus, when you say, I'm blessed because of you, God. I'm anointed because of you, God. I'm strong because of you. I excel because of your grace. You know, when we see ourselves the way God sees us and think about the way God thinks about us, it's equally important not only to think about what God thinks about us. In other words, how God thinks about us, we need to meditate on that. We need to think, oh, yeah, and think about it all the time. Oh, just bask in it. But not only that, we need to talk about it. Equally as important is to talk about those things, to say them out loud, because God watches over his word to perform it. Get this, there is creative power in the word of God. We are ensnared, the Bible says, by the words of our mouth. And so let me show you some scriptures about this. Tom, can we put this up in Proverbs 6, verse 2? This is very, very important. I'm going to show you three scriptures about how important it is to speak faith-filled words because they actually cause the anointing to work in our life. God never commanded us to repeatedly verbalize our pain and our suffering. He never commanded us to do that. To repeatedly verbalize our pain and our suffering. You know, we're not to go around discussing negative situations, okay? You know what that is like doing? That's like airing dirty laundry. When you want to just discuss all the negative situations and the circumstances and just put them out, that's airing dirty laundry. But God says, speak of my goodness. Let's look at Proverbs 6, verse 2. Speak of my goodness. Speak of my promises. It says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So, if that be the case, what are we to say? So do this, my son. Deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. In other words, go and speak to the Lord about those things that are burdening you. Go and talk to the Lord about them or to people. But don't air dirty laundry everywhere about negative things. You know what I want to promise you this, is that this is the promise that God says. When we begin to say those good things happen. You will not find me speaking negative things about others or about my circumstance. Why? Because I don't want those things to happen for you or for anybody else. So what I will do is I will speak what the Word of God says. God says we are the head and not the tail. We are above only, not beneath. We will, hallelujah, a new sense of joy and anointing will come to pass in our life right now. If we constantly repeat problems, don't be surprised if you live in defeat. But every morning, I want you to say this out of your mouth. Start saying, Father, I thank you that I'm strong in the Lord. Lord, Father, I thank you that I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of your might. I am well able to do what you have called me to do, Lord. I thank you for your favor on my life. I want you to say this with me right now. Say, Father, I thank you that I'm strong in you and the power of your might. I am well able to do what you have called me to do. I thank you for your favor on my life. I thank you that when I run into problems, you give me the solution. I will avoid negative talk, but I'm going to get on the offense and say everything that I put my hand to will prosper and succeed. In Jesus' name, I am a firework of God. Amen. Say it. Believe it. Know it's true. It accesses the anointing. You are displayed for all the world to see. And this is what the Lord says. I'm going to close by reading this scripture in the book of Deuteronomy. I love this book. This book is one of the most important books in the Bible. You know, you say, Deuteronomy. Yes, Deuteronomy. It's so good. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, Deuters. The book of Deuteronomy. Can we show this up on the screen? I don't know if we can access this for everyone to see, but if we can put it on up quickly. It wasn't one I included, but I feel the Lord wants me to share it right now. Oh, good, it's up there. Good. Deuteronomy 1:11. Okay, let's read it right now together. It says, May the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, may the Lord the God of your fathers make you 1,000 times as many as you are and bless you as he has promised you. What I want to get over to you today is, as the worship team comes forward, we're going to do something very special right now in the last few minutes. We're going to supersize the anointing on our life. God has given you a measure of the anointing. Hallelujah. He has given you a measure of that anointing. But what God wants you to know right now is that he's going to supersize you. He's going to amplify you and make you multiplied in your efforts, multiplied. And he will do above and beyond what you could ask or think. That's according to his word. And so together today, I'm going to ask, hallelujah, that we believe together. Pastor Tom and I believe with you for the anointing of God to be amplified. And what I'm going to do is right now, Pastor Janine is going to come forward on one side. And Brother Delvin, would you come forward? We're going to use the gift of faith right now. Both of you have a gift in your life. I know it's the gift of faith. You have the gift of faith. And that gift is going to help you to move forward, Brother Delvin. We're going to pray today. And as I sing, God's going to wash you with the anointing of oil. The anointing of oil. It's going to wash over you. He's going to wash you with the water of his word. And maybe you've had some hard times that you've gone through. But from this day forward, what God is going to do is release you in the ability to speak those faith-filled words. Faith-filled words. And cause you to seek Jesus Christ every day. Because God wants to give you a fresh anointing today, a fresh anointing, brand new Holy Spirit anointing. And God is going to wash over you, and God's going to lavish his love upon you. But when you go forward, he's going to help you to speak those words about yourself that you may not want to say. Maybe you feel intimidated or unworthy. God's going to get rid of that. And you're going to do what I told you about before. You're going to say, Father, I thank you that I am strong in the Lord. I've got the power of your might. I've got the power of the anointing upon my life. And I'm going to do what you asked me to do. I'm going to say what you want me to say. And I thank you for supernatural favor upon my life. And you're going to believe it, because the gift of faith is going to be actualized in your life. The Bible says it can be given through the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. Hallelujah. And God is going to cause you to think about yourself differently from this day forward. You're going to know that God is with you, and that no pit is so deep that God's love is not greater still. And there is forgiveness in the house of the Lord for any mistake that has been made. God's going to turn it all around today. So first, let's all stand up together. Hallelujah. Stand up together. And we're going to believe together. We're going to believe, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is going to do something, first of all, and that is forgive us of any hindrances that we've had. If we've walked in disobedience, if we've walked in impatience, or we've had cares, the cares of this world, or literally run after the deceitfulness of riches, you know, where it's money, 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 money's driving you to do everything. God's causing us to repent of that right now, so we can find true happiness. God, in Jesus' name, we come before you. We ask, as a church, we ask you to forgive us, every one of us, Lord, today, for areas of our life where we've hindered your anointing, where we've hindered it, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us for disobedience. Forgive us for those cares that we've carried, or just that our heart has been hard and we've wanted other things and been too busy for you, Lord. We've just been too busy for you. That's just the bottom end of it, Lord. We've been too busy. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you cause us to have an increase of time with you. This increase that cause us to be faithfully seeking after you today and every day. And now, Jesus, thank you for washing us. And now, God, anoint us fresh with the oil of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Those of you that would like to have that fresh anointing, come forward. It's for everybody. And it's not just one time. I'm telling you, I do this daily. I do it in God's presence. But here, you have people here, anointed people, that can pray. And the anointing is even stronger today than I've ever felt it here in this place. There's an anointing here to really raise the dead. So every one of you, come forward to receive the fresh power from heaven. And if there's too many, Pastor Tom, maybe you can join us at the altar. But we're going to believe for the power, the anointing, in Jesus' name. Oh, wash us clean, Lord. Wash over me, wash over me, Lord Jesus. Wash over me, wash over me. Wash over me. Wash over me. Rain down your favor on us, Lord. Rain down your favor on us. Yes. Lavish your love upon us. Pour out your presence on us. Let me taste your mercy in the rain. Jesus, wash over us. Lord, we believe that we have your favor, and we say it out loud.
We have your favor. We can do all things through you who strengthens us. Jesus, we pray.
Wash over me. Wash over me with your love, Lord. Wash over me. Wash over me.
Lavish your love.
Lavish your your love upon us. Let me taste your mercy in the rain.
I feel the rain of God's Spirit just flowing right now. He's raining upon us. He's raining his favor. Oh, I love to walk in the rain. Just walk in the rain right now. Just reach out your hands to the Holy Spirit. Ask him for a fresh anointing, a holy anointing from him, holy anointing from the Holy Spirit. God, thank you, Lord, that you just wash over us, Lord, where our hearts have been dry and our wineskins, God, they need to be softened with the water of your word. Hallelujah. And dipped and rubbed in the oil of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Wash over me. Wash over me. With your love, Lord. Wash over me. Wash over me.
Today. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you're raining your favor upon us. From today forward, confess those things out of your mouth of who you are in Jesus Christ, that you are blessed and highly favored. You are blessed and highly favored. I am blessed and highly favored. I am blessed. Everything that I put my hand to prospers. Everywhere I go, the Lord has mercy upon me. He helps me. He guides my steps. Yes. Cover me with oil.
I want to burn for you. I want to serve you, Lord. Cover me with oil. Set me on fire. I want to burn for you. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord.
Come to the altar if you want to be anointed for service. God says, fresh power is available for service unto the Lord God, that you can make yourself a vessel fit and useful for his work. Hallelujah. Just to love him more, to be in his presence is what God wants of you. To be in his presence. If you haven't had time with him lately, the Lord says, it's time now to get back on track. It's time now to get back on track, to be with him, to be with him daily, to love him, to set aside that time daily just to let him talk to you, let him guide you. Oh, cover me with oil, set me on fire, I want to burn for you. I want to serve you, Lord. Cover me with oil. Set me on fire. I want to burn for you. I want to serve you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Everyone can come to the altar to receive that fresh anointing. Everyone. Cover each person, Lord, with the oil of your Holy Spirit, and rain down your favor upon them, Lord. Anoint them with fresh oil in Jesus' name. Fresh oil from heaven.
Cover me with oil. Set me on fire. I want to burn for you. I want to serve you, Lord. Cover me with oil, set me on fire, I want to burn for you, I want to serve you, Lord, I want to be your fireworks, I want to be your firework, Lord, I want to live for you, I want to die for you, Lord Jesus. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I want to burn for you. I want to shine for you. Cover me with oil. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I want to burn for you. I want to shine for you. Cover me with oil. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I want to burn for you. I want to shine for you. Cover me with oil. I want to be a firework, Lord. How many of you want to be a firework for Jesus? And you believe that you are? You got to say it out of your mouth. Say, I'm a firework for Jesus. And everywhere I go, God is working in my life. Say it. Say it. Say it out of your mouth. Everywhere I go, I have God's favor to accomplish his purposes. Everywhere I go, I have God's favor to accomplish his purposes. Everywhere I go, I have God's favor to accomplish his purposes. Hallelujah. Everywhere I go, I have God's favor. Hallelujah. Let's pray in agreement right now as a church that we have God's favor. Amen. All of us, let's stand and agree. We have the favor of the Lord to accomplish God's plans and God's purposes. Father, we believe today that we have your favor, Lord. We have your favor, Lord, to accomplish your plans and your purposes, Jesus. We have your favor to accomplish your plans and purposes. And we know, God, that you've called us and that you've anointed us. And now, God, do the work that only you can do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God a big shout of praise. Amen. Cover us with oil. Let's sing together. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I want to burn for you. I want to shine for you. Cover me with oil. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I want to burn for you. I want to shine for you. Cover me with oil. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to burn for you. I'm going to shine for you. Cover me with oil. I want to live for you. I want to die for you. I'm going to burn for you.
I'm gonna shine for you. Cover me with oil, set me on fire.
Hallelujah. Father, we worship you,
Jesus.
Lord, bring people our way that you want us to be connected with, Father. Bring people our way that you want us to be divinely connected with, Lord. Thank you for that. We pray for that in Jesus' name, that our church would be like a firework going off, Lord. In Jesus' name, that it would burn for you, Lord, with the glory of the Lord. That everywhere we go, God, that our family would be committed to one another, strong, and affect this community, Lord, with your glory. Hallelujah. We thank you so much for coming today. We just believe that everywhere you go, that you are confessing out of your mouth that you make a difference in this life, and we know you do. We love you so much.